This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
Well, it has been almost a year since the President of the United States, Joe Biden, sat down for an actual interview, if you want to call it that, with a reporter, a sit down, a one-on-one. He did it 6 days ago with Univision, which is a Spanish language network, which means somebody at Univision had to translate and type in the subtitles, which good luck to that guy. They needed 6 days before they could post it, because I assume that guy had to come up with all the words to type on the screen, which could not have been easy. But Biden sat down. Obviously, he's concerned about the Hispanic vote. He is bleeding support amongst Hispanic supporters and bleeding support among young people, and of course among radical left-wingers, Muslims, who chant death to America. And he is really concerned. He's really trying to win them back. So he goes on Univision with Jorge Ramos and goes there. He goes all in on selling out our ally Israel. This is no surprise. He has no core convictions. He has no real loyalty. He doesn't care about Israel. He cares about Dearborn, Michigan. That is much more important to him than Rafah. So he just flat out says it. We need a ceasefire. We've had enough. Time to Israel to stand down. He wants a 6 to 8 week ceasefire, which means a major victory for the Hamas savages who killed 1,200 innocent people on October 7th, who took hostages, who still have about 130 hostages, including at least 6 Americans. I didn't watch the whole interview. I just clicked on it. It's 40 minutes long. But I'm pretty sure the president didn't mention the Americans being held hostage. Certainly didn't say their names. He never has. We have a president who doesn't care about Americans being held hostage by savages who torture, who rape, who murder. Those people are celebrating today. They wanted this. They got this. They got an American president pulling the rug out from Israel, who's trying to execute a war against a savage enemy that has one goal: kill all the Jews, destroy Israel. He wants them to, you know, get a chance to regroup, you know, to get their stuff together before they attack again. I find this just infuriating. I cannot believe more people aren't disgusted with this. I know we got that radical fringe protesting who rooting for Hamas, who are holding Americans. People don't care on college campuses. Democrats in Washington don't care. There's only one who seems to give a damn. That would be John Fetterman, the only Democrat with any balls, with any integrity, who knows Americans' lives are hanging in the balance. President doesn't give a damn. He needs votes. He needs to win Michigan. Those are 16 electoral votes at stake here. 6 hostages, they're expendable. We need those votes in Michigan. He needs the support of the squad and the Hamas caucus in Congress. But he actually, much of what he said was indecipherable as usual. We'll get to that. He was slurring and losing his way. But he has his notes. He has his note cards. And on the note cards, I assume there's one big word, big bold letters: ceasefire. And he goes there. 6 months after vowing to never waver in his support for Israel, he didn't just waver. He sold out our ally. He said, "The hell with you, Netanyahu. We need to save Hamas. I need to win Dearborn." Let's listen to this declarative statement. Time for Israel to stand down. Go ahead.
We're talking about world leaders. In the past few days, we've seen increasing protests in Israel calling for the removal of Prime Minister Netanyahu and international condemnation after the death of World Central Kitchen aid workers during an Israeli airstrike. Do you think at this point Prime Minister Netanyahu is more concerned about his political survival than he is in the national interest of his people?
What I will tell you is I think what he's doing is a mistake. I don't agree with his approach. I think it's outrageous that those three vehicles were hit by drones and taken out on a highway where it wasn't like it was along the shore. It wasn't like there was a convoy moving here, et cetera. So what I'm calling for is for the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire, allow for the next 6-8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country. I've spoken with everyone from the Saudis to the Jordanians to the Egyptians. They're prepared to move in. They're prepared to move this food in. And I think there's no excuse to not provide for the medical and the food needs of those people. They should be done now.
Are you any closer to?
I can't do this. I can't. I mean, this is just such a disgrace. Let's go over this again. We went over yesterday. First 2 days of this week, there were over 700 trucks that entered Gaza. They were commandeered by Hamas, armed Hamas terrorists, literally sitting on top of the trucks and prepared to shoot anybody, any starving child that dared go near the trucks for food. That's what's happening to the trucks. He does this whole interview again and doesn't condemn Hamas, doesn't demand Hamas ceasefire. There's been 6 or 7 proposals of ceasefire presented to Hamas, all of them rejected. He wants a unilateral ceasefire. Just Israel must stop shooting. Not Hamas, not the guys stealing the aid, the food, the medical supplies. He doesn't have a word to say about them, the ones who started this war, the ones who raped corpses and burned babies. He doesn't bring that up at all. It doesn't serve his purpose. This is disgusting, and we got to go over this again. It's outrageous that Israel made a mistake and hit this convoy, which was a convoy, by the way, in the middle of the night, and killed these World Central Kitchen workers, these volunteer, or these humanitarian people who were allegedly there to deliver food. They shouldn't have been there. Now, if you've watched Greg Kelly on Newsmax, he's laid it out. These people were in a place they shouldn't have been. They were taking really foolish chances, risks here. They shouldn't have been there. It was a mistake. Israel apologized. Israel literally fired the guy responsible. They reprimanded a number of people responsible for this mistake. They apologized and promised to investigate. Let's review once again what that guy sitting right there, that empty vessel who is condemning Israel for making a mistake in the fog of war. This was a couple of days after the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021, when Joe Biden wanted a photo op. He wanted the end of the Afghanistan war before 9/11. So we hastily retreated, surrendered to the Taliban. He left our warriors in harm's way. A suicide bomber blew himself up, took out 13 Marines and soldiers at the gate there in Kabul. Also 180 civilians, because we had this ridiculous, hasty exit plan, which was a complete disaster. But we've gone over that, and we've gone over this. This is from CNN. 10 members of one family, including 7 children, are dead after a U.S. drone strike targeting a vehicle in a residential neighborhood of Kabul. A relative of the dead told CNN the U.S. carried out what it called a defensive airstrike targeting a suspected ISIS suicide bomber who posed an imminent threat to the airport. The Pentagon said the strike resulted in secondary explosions, and those explosions killed the civilians. Mark Milley called this a righteous strike. What did Joe Biden say? Nothing. Not a word. Not an apology. Not an investigation. No one was fired. No one was reprimanded. This is what Joe Biden did to save face after the withdrawal. There it is, if you're watching along. This is a picture of some of the dead. A two-year-old child, seven kids, a family taken out by a U.S. drone. And the president has never been asked about it. He's never apologized. He's never vowed to find out who was responsible. He was, but he's never fired anybody, reprimanded anyone, or said a word about it. He doesn't do a lot of interviews. Again, this was the first one in almost a year, but he's never been asked. You're asked about what Israel did last week, what the mistake they made, but the one we made, we're just supposed to say, hey, it happens in war. And I know we went over this the other day. We'll go over it again. Under the Obama-Biden administration, we were a drone happy man. There were people who called Obama President Drone because he loved to fire off those drones. More than 4,000 people were killed in U.S. drone strikes under the Biden-Obama administration. Many of them civilians, some of them Americans. And this man has the gall to say not only was this outrageous and a mistake, but this is the impetus for a ceasefire, which would be a major victory for Hamas. And again, he doesn't condition it on the release of the hostages. I mean, if you're going to demand Israel lay down its arms, shouldn't you at least demand Hamas return? Oh, I don't know, the Americans they're holding? When in history have we ever seen this? Americans held hostage by terrorists. At least Jimmy Carter mentioned the hostages held in Iran for 444 days. It was kind of a top item on his agenda. This is, Joe Biden doesn't care. Doesn't matter. It's like, sure, American, it's a college kid from Binghamton, New York, being held, being tortured. Biden doesn't even know, let alone care and mention his name and reach out to his family. That doesn't matter to him. The people in Dearborn chanting death to America, they matter. They matter. Not the kid being held in Gaza, living through hell. Not the babies. They're holding babies. There's a one-year-old who celebrated his first birthday, or didn't, in captivity. And you hear nothing from Joe Biden or any Democrat or any member of the mainstream media. It's like, yeah, well, you know, these poor world central kitchen folks died. Well, that's important to them. The Americans held there against their will? No, don't matter. Doesn't matter, you know. I wonder what Netanyahu thought about the U.S. taking out 10 people, seven kids, innocent people that day. Did he demand that the U.S. stop using these drone strikes? Did he demand they apologize, lay down their arms? It's I know he's a man without a soul. I know he doesn't have an ounce of compassion or empathy in him. We've gone through that. I know he is a really, really bad human being. But at some point, doesn't he look at the pictures of the kids, the babies, of the college student from New York and say, you know, maybe we should get them back. Maybe that would be good for America. Maybe that's what an American president is supposed to be doing at this point. But I guess we're going to give him credit for sitting down, taking questions, looking at his notes, talking about the situation at the border. By the way, demanding more money, demanding Congress do something about the border. That's another just embarrassment. This can't go on. 6.5 more months. That's what we have. This has to end. I mean, it has to end with the release of Americans, but he doesn't seem to care about that. But there was, of course, a few clips from this interview, which were, as usual, an embarrassment to the president, to the country. He was asked about his legacy. And of course, it was laugh out loud funny. He wants to be remembered as a man who told the truth. I'm sorry, Joe, despite the efforts of your surrogates in the mainstream media, I'm not sure that's going to be the way you're remembered. But listen to how he mentions he wants to be remembered for telling the truth and for, I guess, avoiding war. Avoiding war. The world is on fire. We're on the brink of World War III with the largest nuclear power on the planet. And he wants to be remembered for no war because Vietnam. Do I have that right? Vietnam. Let's watch.
Did you spend a lot of time thinking about what your legacy would look like?
Well, I hope the legacy is that I kept my word, that I said that the reason I was running was to help change the life of ordinary people and reduce the prospect of war. And because of Vietnam, and when I ran, I said that I was once asked, well, why, when I was 1 and 29 years old, I said, it must be a secret. And I said, yeah, the secret you got to ask yourself is, what are you willing to lose over? You figure out what you're willing to lose over, you got an idea of what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. And so I hope my legacy is that I was honest, straightforward, and did what I said.
All right. What are you willing to lose over? That's a good question. He figures out what he might lose over, and he pivots. You know, he might lose over the radical kook fringe who are upset at him for standing with our ally, which we've been doing for 76 years. And he flips. You know, what are you willing to lose over? The border? He's going to pretend he cares about the border for the next 6 months. The number of illegals coming over the border in Texas right now is down to zero because he knows this issue will bring him down. So he's going to pretend to care about the border. Now that we've got 10 million or more illegals in here, future Democrats, now he's going to put a little window dressing on it because he's not willing to lose over anything. That's the problem with this guy. He has no core convictions. He has no actual sincere beliefs. Whatever it takes to defeat Trump, as we see every day when he lies about Trump, when he lies about Charlottesville or lies about abortion or lies about threats to democracy, which we will get to. We got a lot to get to here. I think we have a new nominee for the dumbest member of Congress. It is hilarious. It is. The Democrats are not sending their best. We'll get to Sheila Jackson Lee, Yale grad, lawyer, and member of Congress for the last 29 years. And I'm sorry, your dog. I'm sorry, Ined, your dog's no longer with us, but your dog, when she was smarter than the congresswoman from Texas. And if you ever thought the DOJ, the FBI was going to call off the dogs, was going to try to be what they're supposed to be, which is unbiased, impartial, after we learned just how corrupt they are after they rigged the last election. If you thought maybe that was a wake-up call, all the things we learned from the Twitter files, you would be wrong. The DOJ, the FBI, is working harder than ever to stop Trump, to get Biden reelected. We have just a couple of truly outrageous examples. And we got to give credit to the NAIA. That's a governing body in college sports for a number of schools. It's not the NCAA. But they got smaller schools, and they're in charge of a lot of schools and sports, and they're doing the right thing. They're not going to let men play against women, and it's not going over well with some people, including an ESPN reporter. And in related development, a famous Hollywood star, a couple, their child came out as non-binary this week, and he did it, she did it, They did it at a really opportune time, at Grandpa's funeral. Yes, at Grandpa's funeral. We'll tell you about that and more, but first.
Excuse me.
We all know the stock market has seen unprecedented fluctuation over the past 3 years, and I'm just going to guess that's going to continue for at least another year. Well, silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility. When uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to preserve wealth and hedge against economic instability. The silver to gold ratio is at record levels. Gold is currently at an all-time high, whereas silver is below 50% of its all-time high. A ratio like this is unheard of and provides a great time to add silver to your collection. Well, CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in numismatics. Explore CSN Mint's extensive catalog of bullion bars, coins, and numismatic collectibles. Whether you're a seasoned investor or a passionate collector, you'll find a diverse range of products to suit your needs and preferences. Rest assured that every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your collection with confidence. If you're going to collect something, it might as well be money. So go to csnmint.com/Jerry and use promo code Jerry at checkout to get a free silver American Eagle over a $30 value with your purchase of $75 or more. All right, let's do Sheila Jackson Lee. I generally think, I mean, there's a number of people who have been nominated for the dumbest member of Congress. Oh, you know, AOC is always there. It's like, she's like Scottie Scheffler. She's always involved and always a potential winner here. She is an absolute moron, an embarrassment to BU. There's a senator from Seattle, Patty Murray, just an absolute moron. Ed Markey, our junior senator of Massachusetts, complete empty skull. There's a lot of them. Cori Bush, Jamal Bowman, who's, by the way, losing in a poll by 17 points. So they made do the right thing and oust that idiot, the guy who pulled the fire alarm. I mean, they're all good candidates. But I think, at least for today, we have a winner. And it is amazing that this woman has been in Congress for 29 years. I'll tell you before we get to the her latest, the video, before we get to the video of her trying to educate students, high school kids, on, you know, the sun and the moon and astronomy. I just read about her this morning and I laughed out loud. She was a member of the space and astronaut, whatever, space committee in Congress when she was a young congresswoman in 1997. And we don't have video of this, but it is hilarious. She said she thought that we landed on Mars. She thought Neil Armstrong placed the American flag on Mars. She was in Congress. She was on the committee that oversees space and aeronautics and whatever it's called. And she thought we landed on Mars. That was 27 years ago. She's not getting any smarter. This is her during the eclipse, watching the eclipse with a bunch of high school kids and, you know, to get them ready. She thought she would give them a little primer, you know, on how the moon and the sun, which were, you know, the moon was going to block the sun. I believe that's an eclipse. And she thought she'd, you know, educate them as they sat there preparing to look up at this amazing event. Let's watch.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable, and you will see in a moment, or not a moment, you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
Almost impossible to get near the sun.
She said the moon is made up of gases, and it's almost impossible to get near the sun. And this is a visual. This is a video. She tries to put on her glasses to look at the eclipse and fails spectacularly. It is literally, what is this, a minute? She spends a minute or more trying to put these stupid glasses on, and she can't.
She keeps looking up.
She can't do it. She's like, she ends up looking right up at the sun over the glasses with her naked eyes, so it probably burning her eyes. But look at, they're trying to tell her how to do it. She can't put the glasses on. All right, quick, in case you're wondering who she is, not familiar, I found this just mind-blowing. I looked it up. She went to Yale. She graduated from Yale. She went to University of Virginia Law School. She's a lawyer. She now sits on the Judiciary Committee, the Homeland Security Committee, and the Budget Committee. This is one of the most powerful people in Congress. This is a woman who's been in Congress since 1995. People vote every 2 years overwhelmingly for this absolute moron. We are not sending our best. This is a woman who's voting on whether to go to war, voting on impeachment, and she can't put on silly little glasses to look at the moon or the eclipse. She thinks the moon's made of gas, and it's almost too hot on the sun to get close to it. She thinks we landed on Mars and planted the American flag. Oh, what is wrong with people? Why? I mean, I understand that in black districts, they like to vote for black people. I understand that. You're telling me you can't find a better, smarter person than Sheila Jackson Lee to represent you? She's going nowhere, by the way. She's 74 years old. She'll die in office. She's going to be in Congress till she dies, because people will just go and vote and say, that's my girl. That's my rep. Your rep is a moron. You got to do better. By the way, I was blown away that she graduated from Yale and UVA Law. She went before the House and said, I am an example of affirmative action in higher education. She admitted she knows that she didn't belong there, but she got in there because of affirmative action. She admitted it. That's not me assuming, that's her saying, yes, I was a box checker. I was a diversity hire. I don't think that's going to be a tough one to top. I don't even think AOC believes the moon is made of gas and we landed on Mars. I could be wrong. AOC this week, by the way, we didn't play this when we talked about this, but AOC was talking to Stephen Colbert about student loan debt. And she said the price of college, you know, the high price of education is the reason she didn't go to medical school. Can you imagine sitting there waiting for your doctor to come in the exam room, and she comes in and it's AOC? Oh, tell me you wouldn't just get up and run. Say, you know, I'll just live with that tumor. Okay, I can't have.
If she was my doctor, I would do everything in my power to keep going back.
Oh my God, yeah, you love AOC. Yeah, just can we put on the little Johnny and let her see my ass? AOC, Dr. AOC, it's bad enough that she got a degree in economics from BU, but medical school, she could get in now that they have lots of places, you know, big emphasis on diversity, she might be able to get in. But that is, I'm going to guess, the reigning winner of dumbest member. It's going to be tough to top Sheila Jackson Lee, who thinks we landed on the moon. Oh, good point, Ironhead. I was going to get to the transgender issue, but we'll do this first. I think, it's, you know, we talk all the time about different diversity hires and who's the worst. And obviously KJP, the worst press secretary in the history of that job, of that office. Obviously she is just incompetent and to the point where it's comical. And we do enjoy, we do have some laughs at her expense. But I don't think you could top Kamala Harris. The scariest thing about Joe Biden being on his last legs, about him deteriorating before our eyes, if that happens now, if he gets reelected, it's definitely going to happen. He has zero chance he's going to last 5 more years. This will be your 46th president, which is just frightening. This will be the leader of the free world. This vapid, vacuous, empty-headed nitwit. She went on a podcast called "What It's All In" or something, or "It's All
I've Had It."
What is it called?
I've Had It.
I've Had It. We have two liberal ladies, typical. They're now called offals, which is angry white female liberals. These are two offals who have a podcast, and I'm sure it's really insightful and enlightening, but she goes and giggles with the ladies and says all kinds of just ridiculous things. About, they asked her who her favorite member of the cabinet is, who she spends the most time with, who best bud in the cabinet. She says, I would say it's Joe Biden. Joe Biden's not in the cabinet, but then she goes on and on about, he's so funny and he's so great. She's just so fake, so just shallow. But I had to get to this because this is starting to drive me nuts. I don't know why I let it, but it drives me nuts. This whole idea that if Donald Trump returns to the White House, that's the end of democracy. Set aside that the guy in the White House now is the one who's defying the Supreme Court and handing out billions to deadbeats with graduate degrees who won't pay their bills. Set aside that he uses the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA to censor social media posts. Set aside that he's trying as we speak to put his opponent in prison. Donald Trump, he's a threat to democracy, which is absurd on its face. But I need someone to explain this one to me. Let's listen to her claim that we might never have elections again if Trump is president. Go ahead.
I don't think it's hyperbolic to say this genuinely could be the last Democratic election we ever have.
You're right.
Listen to what he says. He's telling you dictators aren't a dictator for one day and then it's let the people decide.
No, and I'm going to tell you, as vice president, I've now met with over 150 world leaders, presidents, prime ministers, chancellors, and kings. And in the last 3 international trips I've taken, which are, going back to the end of last year through this year, world leaders have come up to me expressing their real concern.
Okay.
Okay, that's not true. 150 world leaders, each and every one of them said, holy shit, this is the vice president. What is going on?
Yeah.
The lady in the podcast host says, it's not hyperbolic to say this could be our last election. Oh, no question. Definitely. Could be it. I got so much here to get to. But we'll get to, the guy in the White House now who's fighting to save democracy. And we'll get to the kid who decided to come out as trans at their grandfather's funeral. Just incredible. Just the ultimate, the height of narcissism, which is something all of these trans folks have in common. It's all about me. Look at me. We'll get to that. But first,
excuse me.
Is it too late for a New Year's resolution? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. 2024 is the year you will stop your hair from premature thinning and you'll achieve your goal quickly and for years to come. The new Provia hair thinning therapy from Chamonix is here and it works wonders for follicle health and thinning hair. The Bravia Secret is a powerful natural ingredient called Procapil that effectively targets the three main causes of premature hair thinning and loss. By supporting healthy scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and healthy hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head and less in the shower. Effective for men and women of any age and safe for colored, treated, and styled hair, it's that easy. And new customers save over 50% plus shipping on Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Callahan. Every package includes a 60-day supply of Provia serum plus Provia Super Concentrate for faster and more noticeable results. You get Provia's Perfect Beard Treatment or Provia Eyelash Enhancing Serum as your exclusive free gift at checkout. Don't wait. Your full, thick hair starts today. Provia works or you get 100% of your money back. Order now and save an extra 10% at proviahair.com/Callahan. That's proviahair.com/Callahan. All right, let's do this. You probably weren't aware, unless you're a big, you know, TMZ kind of gossipy Hollywood, you know, fan. Jennifer Garner's father died a couple weeks ago. I believe it was in West Virginia. He passed away. He was 85 years old. Sad, but, you know, he had a good life, I'm sure. His name was William Garner. That would be the grandfather of Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez kids, their children. So they had a service in a church, Christ Church United Methodist in Charleston, West Virginia, to bury William Garner. I'm sure there was a good turnout. I'm sure it was a fitting send-off for the man. This was the moment that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner's child, Serafina, announced to the world when she went up to speak, you know, about her grandfather, that she was now thin. She was dressed. We have a photo. We don't have the video, which I wouldn't want to play anyway. That would be, I mean, this kid, this is a confused kid, 15 years old, chooses granddad's grandpa's funeral to announce that she is now a boy, I believe. She is now a boy. Got a haircut, short buzz cut, got a suit on. And her new name is Finn. I don't know why this bothers me so much. Again, it's a confused kid. I'm not going to blame her parents. Maybe they didn't know that this is what she was going to do, hijack the funeral. Now, you know, all the TMZs and hell, all the news outlets are pointing this out with this photo. But this is what they do. It's all about me. How could anyone at any age think this is the appropriate time to announce? In fact, there's a meme, literally a meme, with a funeral and people standing around the casket. And the priest says, any last words? And someone yells out, I'm trans. It's a meme mocking these narcissists who think it, the world revolves around them and their identity. I mean, maybe, again, maybe Jennifer Garner and Affleck, maybe they were disgusted. Maybe they were rolling their eyes and saying, what are you doing, kid? It's not your day. It's not your moment. You could do this some other time. But that's not how they think. It's all about them. Which brings me to this story about the NAIA. It's an organization overseeing college sports, smaller than the NCAA, but not small. They oversee 83,000 college athletes at smaller schools, many private schools, Catholic, Christian schools. They voted their governing board. Let me get the name. It's called the Council of Presidents of the NAIA. Voted to ban transgender women, that would be men, participating in sports that fall under their umbrella. This takes guts, obviously, but it was a 20-0 vote. Every single person on the Council of Presidents voted to ban men from participating in women's sports. I tip my Shea Concrete hat to these folks. This is obviously the right thing to do. This is obviously what most people would support. Most people believe men should not play against women. But, of course, you have your activists. And they, here's what they do. They say, this isn't a big deal. There's only 33 men playing women's sports in NAIA schools. Out of 83,000 athletes, only 33. Well, they're making my point. If there's only 33, why not just tell them to hit the road? Get out. You're a man. It's not a big deal. They are bending over backwards to accommodate, to indulge less than 0.00001% of the athletes. It's not about you. It's about the sport. It's about the competitiveness, the fairness. It's not about you. But these people, trans folks, transgender women, men, think it's about them. Leah Thomas thought it was about him. It wasn't about competition, fairness. It wasn't about the women who spent their lives in the pool training for this moment. It was about him winning, him bullying, him having his way with the girls. And there are still people out there defending this. We'll see what the NCAA does. I've warned you, there is no one with less courage, no one more gutless than Charlie Baker. If he does what he should do, he does what the NAIA does and bans men from competing against women, I'll be shocked. I mean, he might, because the pressure is building. But we, if we know anything about Charlie Baker, is he goes which way the wind blows him. He sticks his finger in the wind. He's a politician. He is spineless. We'll see. I doubt it. But there's a ESPN reporter, quotation fingers. I didn't know about this person. He is trans. Goes by they, them pronouns. Keep it in mind, ESPN got rid of Sage Steele because she wouldn't call herself black. She says she's biracial and she didn't like mandated vaccines. Couldn't have her. Super talented, beautiful, really good at the job. She had to go. But Katie Barnes, so I guess, I don't even know. Well, figure it out for yourself. Woman, man, I'm not sure. They, them, is not happy about this. That 33 men have been told they can't beat up on women in sports anymore. Jake Tapper put this weirdo on his show, I guess, and actually asks, with a straight face, is there evidence that women, that men have an advantage over women in sports? This is a real show on CNN by a guy who claims to be a real reporter asking another person who claims they are a real reporter. And they don't know if men have an advantage over women. This is unbelievable. Let's watch this.
There is a narrative that transgender female athletes have an advantage, that they always win, that the reason that men and women generally compete in separate gender categories is because it's not particularly competitive for men to compete against women. Do studies support that?
Well, I think it depends on what you mean by support that. You know, for my reporting and having, you know, really reported this out for many years, the reality is that from a scientific perspective, we know that there are differences in sexes, and we know that the differences do tend to lead to athletic performance differences as well. However, when we look at broad-based restriction at all levels of sport, it's very challenging to say that scientifically that is supported in all cases, meaning that something that might be appropriate for swimming does not necessarily apply to basketball when it comes to individual sports versus team sports, as well as level of competition. And so the idea, I think, that transgender women have an advantage in all sports at all times, regardless of any kind of medical transition, I don't think that the scientific literature supports that at this time.
Look at Jake. Like, it's a real... okay. That is a lie. This person, Katie Barnes, ESPN reporter, is flat out lying. Men have an advantage over women in all sports, in pool, in darts, If you've ever watched golf, and I watch way too much golf. In fact, the next 4 days, I'll be in my usual Masters trance. I don't know. I find it riveting. Not everyone does. Sometimes I get stuck. I'll watch Golf Channel and they'll go to some women's tournament. Women can never compete with men in golf. Not because they don't hit it as far. They can't do anything as well as men. They're great golfers among women. They can't chip, putt, get out of the sand. They can't do anything as well as men. There's no sport where there, unless maybe gymnastics, if you consider that a sport. Mm-hmm. But she says, they said swimming might not apply to basketball. Of course it does. Men have a huge advantage in swimming, as we saw with Leah Thomas. Men have a huge advantage in basketball, as we saw here in Massachusetts, where a 6-foot-tall boy in Lynn is beaten up on girls to the point where girls' teams are forfeiting because they don't want to get hurt. And there's not many people like this trans reporter from ESPN still dying on that hill claiming that that men should be allowed to beat up on women, you know, because of whatever, LGBTQ rights or some such nonsense. But another one is Nancy Armour from USA Today, who is just another cartoon character. But she was upset when the OutKick reporter asked Dawn Staley, the South Carolina coach, if men should be allowed to play against women. And she said, yes, they should. As long as they say they're a woman, they should be able to play, which is absurd. And Dawn Staley would never say that if she had to play against men or coach against male players. When that day comes, Dawn Staley will flip. But of course, she's a coward, doesn't want to defend women's sports, doesn't want to upset Nancy Armour or Katie Barnes or who knows who else, Jemele Hill or Keith Olbermann or any of the usual suspects. And Megyn Kelly, who is great on this issue, just goes off on Nancy Armour, USA Today, and Dawn Staley, by the way, for being the cowards that they are. Let's watch Megyn.
National disgrace, madam, because you have a pen in a very large newspaper, dwindling though by the day, and you too could stand up for women, but you're too cowardly to do it. She says, I don't have all the answers, but I'm always looking for more of them. I've got one for you, Nancy. Shut the fuck up until you know what you're talking about. Because girls are getting hurt by male basketball players posing as girls. I take you out to Massachusetts, where Lowell was playing in a game. The Lowell school was playing in a game, and they had to call it at the half because three players got hurt. It's happening over and over and over and over. I'm so sick of these women who are so terrified of the woke mob or trying to shore up their own bona fides with this crowd, afraid to say what they know is right. I have a daughter who played basketball just weeks ago. And the thought of her going up against a biological man on that court is terrifying. She would be in danger.
Good for Megyn. I mean, it's not even debatable. The idea that this is an issue, just do the right thing, Charlie Baker. Do the right thing. Say the right thing, Dawn Staley. Of course men shouldn't compete against women. If there's only 33 competing in all these schools, and then fine, you can't play. Why should their feelings, their fetish, why should their identity be an issue? They don't have to go to jail. They can live their life, live their authentic self. They just can't hurt girls. Why is that controversial? I mean, I think I know why, but just tell these people, tell Nancy Armour, tell Katie Barnes, I'm sorry, you don't get your way here. We're looking out for girls, women. Your feelings aren't more important than the health and well-being of the girls or the fairness of the competition. Not really difficult, but before we go, it's not a big story or anything, but we got to mention something else that happened this week. Just an afterthought here. Your president, Joe Biden, showered with his daughter. She called it probably not appropriate. Not a big deal. You won't find a lot of coverage of this in the mainstream media because, you know, it's Joe Biden. With the laptop, they got a bunch of corrupt former intelligence officials to sign a letter. And then the media ran with it and lied and said it was Russian disinformation to protect Joe Biden, with the diary of Ashley Biden. They will, I guess they can't blame the Russians. So they will just go into full cover-up mode. That's what the media does. They cover the story with a pillow until it dies. On this one, they're going to give it the greatest leaving alone ever. But it was confirmed this week, essentially, that the diary is real. The diary says when Ashley Biden was a kid, her father would come into the shower with her. And she wrote she was super sexualized as a child. She wrote that she used to have to shower late at night because she was afraid he'd come in with her. That's the president. It was confirmed when they put the woman who found the diary in prison. This is from the Associated Press. A Florida mother was sentenced Tuesday to a month in prison and 3 months of home confinement for stealing and selling President Joe Biden's diary 4 years ago. First of all, she didn't steal it. She found it in a rental house in Florida. She then sold it to, by the way, she offered it to the Trump campaign, to Trump, and they said no. She sold it to journalist James O'Keefe from Project Veritas. Then the FBI raided James O'Keefe's home in the early hours, handcuffed him, took the diary. Now, the media initially would say, oh, we don't know if it's real. Well, I think you can confirm that it's real. You're not going to do this for a fake diary. You're not going to say it's not real. Don't believe it. So it's real. It's real. The woman, you know, threw herself at the mercy of the court. Her name is Amy Harris. She pleaded guilty to a conspiracy charge, admitting that she received $20,000 from Project Veritas for personal items belonging to Ashley Biden. I love this. Project Veritas, says AP, identifies itself as a news organization. Really, what else could it be? They do news. They do interviews, undercover stuff. A tearful Harris apologized for enabling Ashley Babbitt's private writings to be sold after she found the diary in a friend's Delray Beach home. So they say in the first, the lead, she stole it. And then four paragraphs later, she found it. She found it. She claimed she was a survivor of domestic abuse. She cried and they put her in prison for a month. Now, if this weren't true, if this were fake, if she didn't, I mean, it's a diary. It's someone's deepest thoughts and experiences in a diary saying, Dad showered with me when I was a kid. Sounds like kind of a big deal. I'm guessing if this were Ivanka Trump's diary, I don't know. I'm going to guess Morning Joe and Jake Tapper might have found a minute to cover it. But I want to know what the answer is. If you were to sit down with one of Biden's surrogates in the media, if you were to sit down with Joe and Mika or Joy Reid or Rachel Maddow or Jake Tapper, what's your explanation here? That a young woman, a girl, lied to her diary? Is that your excuse? If this weren't real, if this weren't true, they would just say, no, made up. Don't believe it. You can have it. Who cares? Why would you send the FBI to get a diary if it weren't real? It's real. The answer is it's real. And he showered with his daughter. And she wrote, probably inappropriate. You think? By the way, you know what else the FBI with the DOJ, which is supposed to be impartial, it's not supposed to be an arm of the executive branch of the office of the president during election season. You know what they're sitting on right now? An absolute game changer. Hey, the audio of Joe Biden's interview with Robert Hur, the special counsel, who said Joe Biden committed all kinds of crimes with confidential security eyes, with confidential documents, with high, whatever the term is. So He does the investigation. He lets him off the hook, even though he stole confidential documents and read them to his ghostwriter. He stole them over years in the Senate and vice president. We had no right to them, took them home. And he said he did all these things, but we're not going to prosecute. We're not going to recommend prosecution because he's an elderly man with a bad memory. They have audio of that. In the audio, he makes the most outrageous claims. I mean, there's a whole list, just the dumbest stuff of him beating the head of the president of Mongolia in an archery contest and claiming that he defended a guy who burned off his penis in an industrial accident. Just ridiculous, outrageous things, forgetting when he was vice president, forgetting when his son died. That's all on audio. And it's going to be incredible. When we hear it, they won't release it. It's been subpoenaed, and the DOJ won't give it up because it will embarrass their guy. That's not how it's supposed to work. We're supposed to get that audio, and it's going to be just devastating if we get it. But the DOJ, once again, is protecting their guy in election season, is interfering with an election. Let's hope we get it. When we do, man, we're going to have some material, Ironhead. We are going to have some material. It's just some of the stuff in this. He makes car noises, talks about his car and goes vroom, vroom, vroom. He doesn't know what a fax machine is. He doesn't know the names of his staff. He only knows people's first names of the people. He calls Africa a country. There's just one silly thing after another. And we can't hear it because the DOJ does not want to help Trump, wants to protect Joe Biden. Outrageous. And they're defying a subpoena, which is what Peter Navarro did. He's in jail right now. An old man is in prison for doing what the DOJ is doing right now to help Joe Biden. But anyway, we look forward to that day. We'll be all set that day, Ironhead. We got to go. I got to get ready for the Masters. I can't tell you how excited I am. But anyway, that'll do it for today. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Ironhead. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we will do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.